my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up.
Bless you.
Shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, 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 high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy.
You love him tonight.
Holy, holy, holy. You are holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you.
Amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming out on a rainy night. Middle of the week, and we just need to recharge our batteries. Amen. We've been beat on for the past couple of days, but we're good. Good to be back in the harness again. Good to be back in the house of the Lord. I told somebody the other day, I said, those two or three sermons that I sat and watched at home, I said, I don't see how in the world y'all do that. I just don't see how you can sit home and watch a service, unless you just have to. But just to do it because you want to, I don't know. I'm sorry. Bible says assemble yourself together. So, and I know we need to be careful with what we're doing, but I'm saying it's just, if that's your habit of doing that, I just can't see that. It's just not a church service. Unless you're here congregated around the Word of God with family. Amen. Church family. Right? By way of announcements, let's get those out of the way, and then I want to say something just a few minutes about Brother Roel Soriano. We miss him already, and I want to tell a little story about. I don't think anyone knows this. I don't think I've ever told it before, but we're still contemplating having putt-putt on Friday night, so. It's supposed to rain, and then it's supposed to not rain, and it's supposed to be 50% chance, and then I think maybe if, why don't we just postpone it until another time. If people are sick, Brother Bob's family may, you know, if they test positive, everybody's trying to get over all this, and thank you for your prayers. Thank God I was one of the fortunate ones. I did not have any of the symptoms except that I lost my sense of taste and a little bit of fatigue, but no, nothing in my lungs or nothing in my, no fever, and, just kind of took it easy and went stir crazy and probably, probably stirred June crazy too, but man, that quarantine business is for the birds also, but we thank God that he got us through it. And that, and just continue to pray. I've developed a little acid reflux, which causes shortness of breath, and I'm getting over that. So I'm watching what I eat, but it's, I don't know whether it come from the COVID or people say that sometimes it'll attack a certain part of your body. And, so from right here to about right here burns a lot, even if you don't eat anything. So I'm trying to see somebody about that, but we need to see the great physician. Yeah, he's got all the remedies, and we're going to turn it over to him. So let's just postpone the putt-putt until everybody can be there again. I know there may not be a great time, but June, if you don't mind, you know, call her and tell her the situation. We'll just postpone it until a later date. Also, this coming Sunday will be both services here. We'll go ahead and continue to mask up, and while you're inside the sanctuary, also remember then 2 weeks from now, or 2.5 weeks from now, the 25th on Saturday at 3 o'clock, Brother Andrew Glover will be here with, we'll have a youth service on that Saturday, and then regular service on Sunday. So I think that's about it. I'll be doing both services Sunday, the Lord willing. So just keep us all in your prayers. Also, I would like to tell this story about Brother Royal. You know, he and I went to Palawan the both times I was in the Philippines. And the first time we went, we stayed in a rather nice motel. And it kind of was, he was like, kind of out of his element because he didn't, you know, he liked to sleep on a cot, I guess, or on the floor or wherever. So the story that I'm going to tell, you'll see. And so the second time we went over there, we scheduled another meeting in Palawan, and we didn't stay in the good motel. We stayed in a bungalow, a little small place about the size of this pulpit here, not much bigger than this pulpit, but it only had one bed. They didn't have any more. They only had one bed, and it was a small bed. And Brother Royal, with all his, Sister Chi-Chi also told me, she said, make sure he takes his medicine. Yeah. So I would always make sure he took his medicine. Well, we were getting ready to go to bed the first night, and I told Brother Royal, I said, look, I said, you take the bed. You're the oldest in the room. And me and brother, the other brother will sleep in the floor. He wouldn't have none of that. He said, no, brother. He said, you're my guest. He said, you're sleeping on the bed. So I think we may have thumb wrestled or something, and I lost. And I kept trying to pull him up into the bed, and he wouldn't come. He laid in that floor and went to sleep that night. Got up the next morning, had to roll himself out of the floor and crawl up on the bed. But that's the kind of guy he was. That's the kind of brother Brother Royal was. He gave his life. And I pray that if I could say one more thing to him tonight, we tried to make it to Mount Pinatubo. For some of you that don't realize, we built a church there. We gave several $1,000s to build a church, and we were going to go dedicate it the second time we were there. And because of the monsoon season or whatever, the rainy season, we could not get, because you got to cross these rivers that swell up, and you can't get across them without a boat. And you really have to, you rent one of those army jeeps to even try to get across as much as you can. So we couldn't make it. But that was on our heart to do the next time that, if the Lord tarried, that we were going to go dedicate that church. So if I have anything to say to him, brother, we'll dedicate that church. Some way, somehow, we'll dedicate that church, if we have to dedicate it in the millennium. Because that was his desire. He wanted to do that so bad, and he tried so bad to get us away over there, and we just couldn't go. But he was a real friend. He was a real traveling companion. And I miss him. I don't even like to see the pictures they post on Facebook, because it brings back too many memories. Because I know he's in a better place. Amen. We know that, but still, parting has sweet sorrow. Yeah. And I was glad to walk with that man for the years that I knew him. He spent a week or so at our house one time, and we had a blast. Got to really get to know both of them really well, and I just know one thing's for sure. If anybody made it, he made it. And I pray that somebody in the Philippines will pick up that torch and will be the same, can't be the same Brother Royal, but will have that same desire that he had to get the message to the people of the Philippines. That was his desire. And even to different places like Hong Kong and and Dubai. He traveled all over the place, not sightseeing. He went there on a mission. And God said, hey, I'm finished with you now. Come and rest. Let's rest for a little while. Your labor's done. So now please, somebody pick that torch up in the Philippines and take it to the people there. Through that church there with the overcomers, we pray for them that there's a big gap that's got to be filled. But you know what? God knew that, and he's got somebody. He's got somebody that'll fill that gap up. I just pray that they'll get behind whoever it is, and that they'll have that same zeal that Brother Royal Soriano had. Because he was a real go-getter. He was, even with all the problems that he had in his body, went through that stroke for a year or so, didn't do anything, and he just kept going on and kept going on and kept going on. And we love people like that, that just gets up and goes. When the devil knocks you down, you just get right back up and take off again. So we thank Brother Royal for all the time I've had with him on the earth, and I'm looking forward to spending an eternity with him, and there'll be no sorrow, there'll be no sadness, there'll be no pain, there'll be no tears. But he was a good brother, and we'll miss him until we meet again. I like what they say in Jamaica. They say, until you say what? Well, until we either meet in a rapture, until we meet him, whichever we pass on and have and go over there with him, we'll meet again with our brother, I believe, on this earth. And we'll go to Mount Pinatubo. We won't have to do it in a bus. We can travel like a thought. But God bless you. We love you with the love of the Lord. Just keep us all in prayer. We all have things that we have that we're trying to deal with all this redo of COVID coming back again and all these other sicknesses, but God's the healer. He knew these things were going to happen. It's just part of our journey to have the right reaction and have the right attitude and have the right mental attitude to take us to the next level where we can get out of here. Because somebody is going to take this message and get out of here with it. Amen? Amen? So we're just going to contend that it's us. Amen? Amen? So if you got your Bibles, we're going to, tonight, just real short, we're going to just go over something. I mean, background a little bit, since it's been 2 weeks. I thank Brother Luis and Brother Aaron and Brother Bob for, taking over while we were all, while we were out. They did an outstanding job. I think you ought to give them a good hand. Listen, a lot of churches don't have that luxury. A lot of churches would have to shut down, or they'd have to play a tape, or they'd have to bring a minister in. But thank God that we've got a stable full of good horses, amen, that can carry this message on and continue on as we go. And one more thing before I finish. I'm not going to call any names, but, a lot of time, and this is, Brother Dale's watching in now, so I want him to listen to this. There's a lot of times that sometimes we're preaching our heart out, and it seems like, nobody's getting anything. It seems like, you're trying your best, and you're just absolutely, have you ever been stuck in gravel? You just get stuck in gravel, and you're throwing rocks everywhere, and you're going nowhere. But then when you get a phone call from somebody that's watched online, and they're absolutely rejoicing over the revelation that they got from what Brother Dale's brought all these years, and they're watching and listening to the old sermons that he's preached, and you see and you hear the joy in their voice. And the man, all he done was he was searching for truth. And God told him to go online. God told him. He told us what he said. God told him to go online and find a true preacher. And he found Brother Dale about 6 years ago. And he's been watching ever since. So to him and to all the other ministers. Sometimes we may not be preaching right here to this congregation. We're preaching to somebody maybe this brother is right in the middle of several message churches, but the doctrines are all over the chart. And I just thank God that we had a, that we had a chance. Some people don't have a chance. We've had a chance, but what are we going to do with it? What are we going to do about it? Okay. So let's go to Hebrews 9:11. I'm going to background just for a few minutes and then we'll go home because I want to finish this up this coming Sunday, the plan of eternal plan of redemption. And then we will start on something else, maybe on the Son of Man. So Hebrews 9:11. Let's pray before we get started. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day that you've given us. We pray, Lord, that as the Bible says, we'll redeem our time. Lord, that we'll not waste our time from this day forward. Lord, that we'll, even though it looks like no one is fighting with you, somebody is, because you got an elect bride. You've got a predestinated, selected bride that's going to make it. She's going to be the crown on your head. She's going to be the fulfillment of all your word. She's going to be that little armor meatpacking girl. That little washwoman. Not those three sisters that jumped around and shouted and screamed and had a big time. No, that little washwoman that washed the dishes and did her daily duty. Lord, that's what caught your eye. And thank God you sent us a prophet to tell us that story to make it so real. And Lord, now we're making ourselves ready, Lord, because we know that very soon we're going to be able to hear those wheels come down that old dusty dirt road. And it's going to be you coming to take us home. Lord, that we'll never have to suffer again. That we'll never have to have a heartache or a trial or a temptation, Lord. But we've got to make ourselves ready first. We're not going to be the ones that's going to just be dilatory and just sit around and wait. Lord, no, we're going to press this battle. We're going to take this thing by force. And we're going to be victorious because that's what it says in the book. That we are victorious through Jesus Christ. Father, we pray that you'd be with the ones that are sick. Brother Zach and Kaylee and all the different ones that's been sick all week. May they have a good report, Lord, and no virus test positive, Lord. We pray that you'd just be with each one that's here. Be with the ones, Lord, that are not here. The Lord, the ones that are recovering, Father, we pray that you'd just cover them by your blood. Thank you for keeping all of us safe, Lord, and be, Lord, ever present with us, Father. From this day forward, may we strive to do better, Lord. May we take this sword and, Lord, as the prophet said, take it to the heart of the enemy. And we've got to do it with a strong hand of faith, Father. And we've got to believe, though all hell breaks loose around us, that, Lord, you are the one that's conducting this battle and you've already won. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you would bless the church family over in the Philippines, that you'd be with them, Lord, to give them comfort. The only way that can be given is through you, Father. Comfort them, Lord, with the loss of Brother Royal. Comfort Sister Chichi and the two daughters, Lord. We pray that you just be with them, Father. We love them just as real family. Father, we pray that you just bless the people there. May someone, Lord, as I said before, raise up in that congregation or in that area, Lord, and take that sword and take that shield and, Lord, take it to the enemy, Lord, out there in the battlefield called the Philippines. Lord, we pray that you just bless each one. Forgive us of our sins. Take care of us, Lord. Bless Brother Dale. Keep him strong. Be with each one, Father, within the sound of my voice tonight, Father. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hebrews 9:11. But Christ being come in high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Let's read Isaiah 65. This is what we'll get to Sunday, but I just want to background just for a minute, and I want to bring a little point out, and then we'll close. Isaiah 65:17. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. You may be seated in the Lord and his blessing to the reading of the word. Let's read Matthew 25, verse 31 real quick. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd dividing his sheep from the goats. Now that, look, the Son of Man shall come in his glory. So now let's go to Matthew 16, verse 15. This is where they're talking to Jesus. He said unto them, but whom you say that I am? And Simon Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it to thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. In other words, this revelation, I will build my church. Now, not church nominal. Jesus' church is his bride. Alright, Jesus' church, he's gonna build a bride. He's not gonna build a church. He's gonna, not gonna build a building. He's gonna build a bride. I will build my church. And the gates of hell are going to try, but they shall not prevail against it. Amen? I love that. So what happened during the church ages is that God was building his church, and he was building his church on the foundation of the revelation that the Son of God was the Creator God, but he was also the Holy Ghost that was going to come back on the day of Pentecost and enter into 120 people and start God's church, our bride. All right? So thank God, though, that there was a prophet coming in the end time, that because during the church ages, it all kind of got convoluted, and it kind of, the vines intertwined, and you couldn't tell one from the other, and you call church this, and you call this. But thank God we had a prophet come in the end time, and he said, now I call you bride. I don't call you church anymore. The church is going to go through the tribulation, but the bride is not. The church is going to go through this. It's going to be a denomination. It's going to take the mark of the beast, but the bride is not. So he separated that. He took those two vines and he separated them away from each other because they had got so intertwined that there was no revelation, no prevailing revelation to get us out of it until God did send a prophet. Right. And then when he sent that prophet, he divided or took us back to the faith of the fathers and built his church on that and built this bride that we're talking about now, the armor meatpacking girl, the one that gets herself ready, right, the one that's going to finish this whole thing. I mean, finish it all. It's going to be the bride of Jesus Christ. The church is not going to finish. The church is going to go through the tribulation. The church is going to be persecuted. The church is going to be, going to go through the battle of Armageddon. The church is going to die and be left in the fifth dimension or wherever you want to put them at. They're going to be left for another 1,000 years during the millennium. That's where the church is going to be. Because the church turned God down. Revelations 3:14, all through there, he's on the outside, the prophet of God outside of the church, trying to get back into his own place. Because he said, I'll build my church, and he did start building his church, but they got to being what? False doctrine and all these different things coming in, and it got the vines all intertwined together, and it took a prophet to break them apart. And like I said, now we can read the Bible and we can see where the church has to go through tribulation, but the bride does not have to go through tribulation. All right. So there's the revelation that you and I get in the end time that will help us if we'll be able to see that, excuse me, that we'll see that the church is not the bride. All right. So now let's go to Revelation 4:1. Because this is not going to be the church. The church does not take the rapture. Right. Only the bride. Right. The church does not take the rapture. All right, so this is then only talking because Brother Branham was specific. He didn't say John typed the church. He said John typed the bride. Right. Right. All right, John typed the whole bride. He did not type the church. Because in Revelation 4:1 said, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither. Now there's your rapture, and that's not the church. That's the bride all down through the church ages, but it's not the church, it's the bride. All right? And I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on that throne. So now immediately after that, then the church has got to go through tribulation. Go to Matthew 24:21. For then shall be great tribulation. Brother Claude and I were talking about this today. You know, you look at the Bible too, and you thank God that we know we don't go through the great tribulation. Now we go through tribulation. Because tribulation worketh patience. So we'll go through. Now remember, the great tribulation though is the wrath of God poured out on the world, and there's no bride here to stop it.
Right.
Everybody got that?
Amen.
All right? For then shall be great tribulation. That's the wrath of God. That's poured out on the church because she didn't accept God as you and I accepted him as our husband, lover, whatever you want to call it, as Jesus Christ, our Savior. For there shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. Now remember, he's talking about Noah and the flood. Even such as since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh saved, but for the elect's sake. All right? Who's the elect? That's me and you. For the elect's sake, it's going to be shortened so to get us out of the way so that God will bring this great tribulation upon the world or the wrath of God. All right? So let's go to the next one. Revelation 2, verse 20. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication. Now we know what that is. That's the church. That's the mother whore. That's the mother whore with the harlots. To teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I give her space to repent, 2,000 years, to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and then that committeth adultery with her into great tribulation. See there? Great tribulation. Except they repent of their deeds. And we know that maybe some did, but we know that there was a group that did not. Because that group is going to be in the lake of fire, and that group is going to be not here during the 1,000-year millennial reign. So let's go to Revelation 13:4. And they worshiped the dragon which gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. Now we're over into the part of Daniel's 70 weeks, all right, when we're already gone. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. Pretty mad guy, huh? And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given unto all kindred and tongue and nation. All right? And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of the life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Thank God for a prophet to tell us, though, that there's a Lamb's book of life, and then there's an eternal section. There's a section that your name can be transferred from. There's a section that your name can be wiped out of. And then there's a section that your name can never be wiped out of. Amen? If you're a bride of Jesus Christ, you're on the Lamb's book of life, the eternal section. You cannot be erased off of that. You can't blaspheme the Holy Ghost if you've got the Holy Ghost. Amen? But some people are going to do that, and they're going to worship this person. They're going to worship this person, the whole earth, all that dwell on the earth, shall worship him. Now, are they thinking they're worshiping the devil? No, they think they're worshiping God. But he's deceived them. But who is not going to be deceived? Me and you. You and I. If you've got the baptism of the Holy Ghost today, you cannot be deceived.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen.
You can be in a little bit of deception, but you can't be deceived enough to blaspheme, and you definitely can't be, you cannot be deceived enough to follow after this guy.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
So there's that separation part that we were looking at. Now look, let's go to Revelation 11:3. And I want to bring something out after I get here in the Daniel, and then we'll close, and I'll start back over Sunday. So I will give power to my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,203 score days clothed in sackcloth. Now, who are these? That's the Moses and Elijah, the spirit of Moses and the spirit of Elijah, and two prophets that are over in Israel. We're already gone. The bride is in heaven. The church is on earth. The church is being persecuted at this time. The bride is in glory, and then God has a group of people, or a remnant, servants, which is the 144,000, that's got to be called out during this 1,260 days. Everybody got that? Say amen. Now, I want you to keep this in the back of your mind, that those two prophets, they will open the sixth seal. We'll talk about that in just a minute. It says, these are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. So let's go to Daniel 9:24. The 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, who is that? The Jews. And upon thy holy city, Jerusalem, to do six things. Finish transgression, make an end of sins, make reconciliation for iniquity, bring in everlasting righteousness, seal up the vision and prophecy, and anoint the most holy. So it's going to take 490 years for God to send enough, I say send enough prophets and send enough preachers and send two witnesses. It's going to take 490 years, 7 sevens is 490, 70 weeks. It's going to take 490 years to bring Israel back. Now, it's not a continual 490 years. We know that 483 is already passed. Then there was Calvary. Jesus was crucified. So that cut off the Jews. We've covered this before in the beginning of this. And then God started dealing with the Gentiles. But he's not going to forget Israel. He's going to come right back in that last week, and he's going to reconcile Israel to him, call out 144,000, and they're going, now listen, the 144,000 is going to be called out during that time. Alright?
Right.
Now, but all hell's going to be breaking loose everywhere else. Everybody got that? It's going to be worldwide, and it's going to work its way over to Jerusalem. And then you've got the two witnesses that break that sixth seal open. But now remember, they break it open in its pure form according to the Bible. But now there has to be a sixth seal part that you and I get of sanctification that we'll talk about in just a minute. And then we'll leave. Brother Claude and I were talking about this, so I thought I'd cover it. And then we'll get back to it Sunday. So let's go to Jeremiah 30 verse 7. Now what's happening here is that God is going to promise Israel two things for a surety. He's going to save them. And he's going to have somebody sit on the throne of David, ruling the 12 tribes of Israel. He's promised this to Israel. Israel knows that. But watch this. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble. But he shall be saved out of it. All right? For it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck, and will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him. In other words, the whole world's after Israel. They're probably 50% of the people in this whole world would love to see Israel just vanish. Right? But he's not going to do that. But they shall serve the Lord their God and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. Now remember, it's not David himself. It's the lineage of David, which is where Jesus Christ comes through, the lineage of David. It's not David. We're not going to see David sitting on the throne ruling the 12 tribes of Israel in the millennium. We're going to see Jesus Christ. But he's the son of David by faith. All right. Therefore, fear thou not, O my servant Jacob, saith the Lord. Neither be dismayed, O Israel, for lo, I will save thee from afar and thy seed from the land of their captivity. Remember, Israel's dispersed. Israel's starting to come back. But he's going to bring them all back, and watch, And Jacob shall return and shall be in rest and be quiet. And none shall make him afraid. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee. Though I make full end of all nations. Now look, he's going to make an end of all nations that's against Israel. Though I make a full end of all nations, whither I have scattered thee. See, he told them he's going to scatter them. Remember, we read that before. He told them, I'm going to scatter you because you can't be in this land and do the things you're doing. But when you decide that you want to do the things that I want you to do, I'm going to bring you back into this land. And it was really strange. I guess not really strange. It was really the providence of God that the very next day that when Israel declared themselves a nation, that the angel of the Lord was right there in that cave giving Brother Branham his commission. I don't know if you knew that or not, but the very day. And then the next day he said, the angel appeared to me and gave me my commission. That's 1947 or somewhere in there, 40, whatever year they became a nation. But then what did Brother Brown say? He said they started returning back. They've been returning back ever since. Jews know they got to get in their homeland for God to talk to them.
Right.
All right? For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee, though I make a full end of all nations whither I have scattered thee, yet will I not make a full end of thee. But I will correct thee in measure. What? Daniel 9:24. I will correct you in measure and will not leave thee altogether unpunished. Listen. He's punished Israel. He's been punishing Israel since they hung him on a cross. Because they said, let his blood be on us and our children. So there's been a mark there that God has scattered them, dispersed them. He's not let them back in the homeland. And people hate Jews. I mean, they're one of the most hated small group of people in the whole world. Why? Because they say they're God's people. And they are. But not all of them. Amen? Same way with me and you. Not all Israel is Israel, as we were discussing yesterday afternoon. Not all Israel is Israel. But be not dismayed, though I make full end of all nations, whither I have scattered thee. Yet will I make a full end of thee, but I will not make a full end of thee, but I will correct thee in measure, and will not leave thee altogether unpunished. Let's go to Revelation 6, verse 12. This is where I want to get to right here. And then we'll stop. Revelation 6, verse 12 says, look, I beheld him when he had opened the sixth seal. Now, to not make it to where we have to get into a great big discussion, I know some that have been here for a long time, they've heard the seals over and over again, how Brother Dale preached them. And how that we know that the seals do not break while we're here. Okay, they break. This seal right here will not break until we're gone. Okay, but why did Brother Branham preach it if we didn't need it? So we have to get, remember, from Revelations, Brother Branham said Revelations 4:1 to Revelations 19:21. Is not to the Gentiles, right? But we've been all in it through this whole discussion. We've been all through it. We read the scriptures. We've been reading. Well, there's Revelation 6. What are we doing in Revelation 6 if we didn't need it?
Right.
As the Gentiles.
That's right.
So thank God for a prophet and thank God for a pastor that saw that there was a spiritual meaning of these seals.
Amen.
That had to open to the bride first in a spiritual form. And then the natural form would open. All right? So look, this is what's going to happen. Beheld, when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell into the earth. And even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heavens departed as a scroll when it was rolled together, atomic. And every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth and the great men, the rich men, the chief captains and the mighty men, every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. for the great day of His wrath. See, that's the wrath of God poured out upon a world that doesn't have the bride in it. Now, it does have the 144,000 still there, and it does have the foolish virgin and all those different ones, but they're giving their life for what they believe, but God is pouring out these on the ball of earth, the earth, not this earth. He's literally pouring this out on the earth. Those two prophets, Brother Brown says, open that sixth seal anytime they want to. Because remember, what was the characteristics when we read there in Revelations 11, and it says fire proceeded out of their mouth. Water was turned to blood. It didn't rain for so many years. Well, what is that? That's them controlling nature, the physical part of nature. So now, and then watch though, and let's read what happens now in Revelations for the great day of His wrath. Let's read that last one. For the great day of His wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Now listen, that's not me or you, but who's going to be able to stand? Revelation 7 verse 1, this will be the people that's going to stand. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascend from the east, having the seal of the living God. Now, what is the seal of the living God? The baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's the only seal there is. We know there's seven seals, and as all we talk about seals, there's only one seal. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of your redemption. So this angel is bringing the seal. Now listen. Is that to us? We're not here. We've already been sealed. Okay? Now look, the foolish virgin, they don't get sealed. That's the reason they're still here. Everybody okay with this? That's the reason the foolish virgin is still here. They're not sealed in. They don't get this seal because they're under the Gentile dispensation, which has been closed. So who is this talking about? Only one group of people can receive the Holy Ghost after the bride leaves the earth. And who is it? It's going to tell you right here. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom was given to hurt the earth. He says, hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants. Not the bride. We have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. Alright? Remember, everybody else that didn't get this seal were sealed in the forehead with the 666. Right? Which is not a stamp. It's just the number of man. Alright? It's their doctrine. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Everybody got that? So what's going to happen is, he's going to hold the war, the last war, the war, to hurt the earth and the sea, and he's not going to hurt that place over there until these people are sealed in. Now I want to ask you a question though, and we'll not read it. We'll wait till Sunday. But what happens after the two witnesses preach, and after the 144th, now listen, they're not all going to be sealed, I don't think, at the same time, because then they could just do it in a day. Now, the Bible says Israel will be born in a day. But, why is he going to give them 1260 days to preach if it's not going to be like me and you? We didn't all come in at the same time. You saw it, he didn't. Then he saw it, and somebody else didn't. You understand what I'm saying? So, it's going to take 1260 days. To bring that 144, to seal them in, well, during that time, what's going to happen? There's going to be a sixth seal that two prophets stand on the earth and they call fire, they call the the stars to fall from heaven, whatever they call. The prophet of God says it's a total disruption of nature. And it's controlled by two men. It's controlled by two men. Now, Where do they get that power? From the Holy Ghost. The same Holy Ghost you got in you today. Same Holy Ghost. There's not different Holy Ghost. Now there's a Holy Ghost that goes into a Gentile bride, like we said before, that does not make us remnant. It makes us sons and daughters of God. That is position. Everybody got that? But it's not a different Holy Ghost. It's the same Holy Ghost. So now I want to ask you a question. So after they're sealed in, what happens to them? Now the Bible says they had to be killed with the two witnesses. That's not in there verbatim that 144,000 are killed, but the Bible says the two witnesses are killed. All right? And then they take a rapture. Well, the prophet of God tells us that the 144,000 go in a rapture after they're killed. Because remember, they're not bride. So they can't take a body change down here. You and I have already done that. They have to be killed for what they believe. And then they're raised up as the two witnesses are raised up after 3.5 days. The two witnesses are raised up. And then I believe they're raised up too, because listen, the whole world's not going to just hate the two witnesses. They're going to hate that 144,000, because they're going to be able to do what the two witnesses do. Now my whole point for tonight is look, that's the same Holy Ghost you and I have. So it means that you and I have to have a sixth seal purging.
Right. That's right.
Not a sixth seal purging of the earth. This earth.
Right. That's right.
A sixth seal total disruption of your nature.
Right.
And what is the disruption of your nature? Everything you were born with is contrary to God. Everything you were born with is contrary to God. That's why, as we were talking last night to some people about people believing that you had this eternal seed inside of you. How are you going to have an eternal seed inside of you and you were born contrary to God? Now, God knows when you're going to get it. And He has the eternal seed, which is the eternal Word. But you were born in sin. You were born dead. You can't do them things you did and have the Holy Ghost inside of you. And as we were talking last night, some people say, well, it's laying there dormant. How can an eternal seed be dormant? I'm a dumb country boy, but that don't add up. That you can have an eternal seed inside of you, but it's laying dormant. Now, let me ask you a question. Did Mary have a dormant seed inside of her, or did God plant that seed inside of her to have the baby Jesus? You tell me. Was it just something laying there dormant inside of Mary, just waiting for the Holy Ghost to speak? No. I believe Gabriel said the Holy Ghost will overshadow you, and you will have a conception not by a man, but by the man. Amen?
Right.
And there'll be a seed placed inside of you, the seed of the woman.
Right.
You see how convoluted people get things? But now you have the quotes where Brother Brown said, you know, he could say that you have this little, you know, there's one where Brother Brown said it starts out as a little button. But if you'll read that quote, he said, when you get the Holy Ghost, it starts out as that button. What? You've received something. When Jesus said, receive ye the Holy Ghost, they didn't get it right there. No? Now, if they had an eternal seed laying there, and the very person, the very Word of God, said, receive ye the Holy Ghost, what stopped that thing from giving them the Holy Ghost right then? Because they didn't have it. It wasn't there for them to have. Jesus hadn't died yet to release that life, to release the Holy Ghost. So this sixth seal is very important for you and me, because listen, what happens after the actual sixth seal opens? There's a rapture. There's a rapture after the sixth seal opens. When you and I, when that sixth seal breaks to us, and it totally disrupts our nature and turns our nature to that, there'll be a rapture. That's what, you want to know what's holding the rapture off? I'm holding it off because I hadn't got the divine, all the divine nature of God inside of me. And then the headstone, which is the seventh seal, which is Him Himself, comes and fulfills Himself. Because remember, when we take the sixth seal, let me ask you a question also. Because the Bible says that after that the two witnesses and the sixth seal opens, they just absolutely just turn the world upside down. They're killed. The 144,000 are killed. They're taken up in a rapture. Now Daniel tells us that Michael will now come on the scene and fight for Israel. Maybe during the Battle of Armageddon. I don't know. But it calls Michael, which is who? Christ. Christ is those seals. So if we'll get that where we'll, you say, well, now, what are you talking about? We need a sixth seal purging to get Christ on the scene.
Right. That's right.
Now, we know we have Him in the new birth, but we don't have Him in the headstone yet. We don't have the fullness yet. We're working toward that. That's what's keeping us here. But we need to look at that and see that we need a house cleaning. We need a sixth seal purging of all the things that we used to do.
Right.
You say, well, brother, I've been born again and I don't have no this and that and the other and this and that and the other. Yeah, well, you might have not have that, this and that and the other, but maybe you got something else coming.
That's right.
Maybe you got something else that you need to shake out, get shook out of your house.
Right.
But that sixth seal purging will purge a literal earth.
Right.
It'll purge a literal earth. But you and I, it's going to purge our earth first. Because remember, Adam fell. Then the earth fell under him. So now what is the world waiting for? Groaning and waiting for what? The manifestation of the sons of God? Now listen, the world's not waiting on this group right here. This group's waiting on us. But the whole world's not waiting on them to manifest who they are first. The whole world's waiting on me and you to manifest who we are first.
Right. That's right.
According to Romans 8, waiting for the manifestation. I was reading the other day in the Future Home, Brother Brown was, somebody was saying, quoting to him that we needed manifested sons of God in the millennium. He said, why do we need them in the millennium for?
Right.
Why do we need healing in the millennium? We don't need that.
Right.
We need it now. They got the cart before the horse. So you and I must realize that we have to have that same purging. You know, we're going through this eternal plan of redemption and we had to bring the seals into it somewhere because the seals is the total plan of redemption. So now when six seals finishes redemption, who comes on the scene? Christ. So when the sixth seal finishes here and they're carried away, who comes on the scene? Michael. Who comes on the scene? Christ. Remember, what is the seventh seal? It's the same as the seventh trumpet, which is the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and His Christ, which will be in the millennium after all this is done and over with. So that was my point I wanted to bring because me and Brother Claude were talking about it yesterday and today. And that sixth seal's got a lot to do with us still being here. Because it's our nature that's got to be, our nature has to be changed. And even Paul says having the mind of Christ and all these things, and do we? That's my question tonight. Do we have the mind of Christ? Yeah, we're born again. And yes, we do have the mind of Christ. But boy, I'm telling you, my mind ain't all Christ. My physical brain don't think things it should think as far as Christ is concerned. But what we got to do though is deny those things. Cast down those imaginations. Cast down those fears. You say, well, they're real. Yeah, I know they're real. But you got to cast them down to become the stature of a perfect man. That the sixth seal sanctification It's going to absolutely not just move. We were talking about this to that group the other night, and they'd never seen it this way, I don't think. But, you know, they say, well, you know, I need to divorce all these things. You know, I need to get rid of this old husband. If you divorce and your husband's alive, you're living in adultery. Bible. Right? But now, if your husband dies, you're free to marry. Only in the Lord. But you understand what I'm saying? You can't divorce them old things that you're dealing with. You gotta have them killed. They gotta die. You can't hang them up in a closet and use them when you need them. Because you can't what? You can't be married to two men at the same time, according to the Bible. One of them's gotta be dead. So all these things that we've got hidden in our closet, you just divorced it. All you done was just hid it. I'm saying all of us. Those things have got to die. Now once they die, Christ says, okay, I can marry you now. Okay, I can fill you with these faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness. Thank God we've been taught right. Thank God that is important. And that's part of the seal. That's the sixth seal, sanctification. That right there. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Then Christ comes on the scene. Listen, God's waiting on that thing to seal us in. That's not a different Holy Ghost. That's waiting on Him to fill the cracks up. Cause we might have a divorce when we need a death. That's my whole point. I want us to realize everything has got to have a death involved with it. Remember what I tell you? Redemption is based on resurrection.
Right.
And to have a resurrection, something had to die.
Right.
Amen? Amen? Jesus Christ had to die and be resurrected to come back in the hearts of the believer. Now we've got people that have passed on literally, and they passed on, but they're not dead.
Right.
And we're waiting on resurrection to bring it right back to where it's supposed to be. But now listen, we don't want a resurrection of that old person. We don't want a divorce. We don't want a separation. Some people just like separation. We don't want separation. We want a death. That's why I say as we go to the water to baptize, we're going to a funeral. If we're not going to a funeral, you're just going to get wet. But if you bury that thing, and it die.
Right.
And you come up in newness of life. There's that sixth seal starting to work on you. There's that nature that God's trying to put in there. Because remember, the prophet of God said you're born with a nature. Contrary to God.
Right.
Your whole nature is contrary to God.
Right.
Everything you did is contrary to God. So let's let that, as we see this, as we'll stop here, we'll just sing a couple of songs and then we'll be dismissed. We see this sixth seal opening after we're gone from here, but we got to bring that thing back to us.
Right.
To where we had a prophet come in the end time. See, we didn't need Moses and Elijah. Jews needed Moses and Elijah because they need those two prophets. Because that's what the Bible said. We needed a Malachi 4 prophet. One prophet. One Gentile prophet. To tell us these things. And to open the seals. To show us a way back. That our old husband is dead. Not divorced. And that this is not us. Remember there was a doctrine. Brother Brown said a Campbellites or somebody. They thought the 144,000 was the bride. And that's all there was going to be. Somebody had to teach that.
Right.
Amen. So it's, thank God that we've had the right kind of teaching. Because, you know, Brother Branham takes some, now we may read it next week. Where the Bible says in Revelation, I think 14, it says there was you just couldn't number this group of people. And they asked John, said, who is this? And John said, I don't know, thou knowest why, because it wasn't John's people. John is a Jew. Right? And he said, it's nations, many tongues, nations and people. That's the bride. That's me and you. Let's stand to our feet. We need that nature change. Yes. And it took a prophet to prophesy over us to tell us we can have that nature change. Right. Come on, Brother Boyd. We can have that nature change. We can have those seals open in a spiritual form to change this body. Because right. See, without the statue of a perfect man, you can't have a body change. Without having these virtues working in your life and knowing what happens in each stage and each condition, and that capstone being not filial love, but agape love, which is the love of God, then we're not going to get out of here. That's why we're still here. But thank God we've had a prophet and we've had a fivefold ministry to teach us these things. But just think on these things. We need an interruption of our nature. I mean, man, I sat there for a week and tried to do this, and I studied a good bit in the Word of God, read a couple of books and studied a little bit. And I thought, my, this is sure is a change. Because see, I work and then we come to church and then, you know, you get in a routine, you get in a pattern, you get in a rut, and then you get totally disrupted from that. What happens? It disrupts your whole nature. It just changes everything you got. Well, maybe this thing is good for us to have a change, to know that we got to depend on God. We got to depend on God. Not depend on the doctors or depend on that shot or depend on whatever we got to depend on God. Now, God gives us doctors and He gives us shots. You understand? I'm not neither way, but I'm telling you, we got to know who we are. Just like Brother Branham would stand and he said, now this is the church and this is the bride. You better realize this is who you are right here.
That's right.
Not this over here. Well, I'm just going to be a good church member. Well, you're going to go through the tribulation. The wrath of God. Not just the wrath of man. That's the wrath of God poured out on a nation or nations that turn against Israel. Then the battle of Armageddon. And then you're not going to be able to live for another 1,000 years until that 1,000 years is over. And you got to come up to the white throne judgment. You got to give an account of what you've done. Thank God. By the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you never have to do that. You never have to stand to judgment. You're standing it right now. You've been judged worthy. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm pleased to dwell. That's what Jesus said, or the Father said to Jesus. Well, that's the same thing happened to you when you get the new birth.
Right.
He's pleased to dwell in you, or He wouldn't have picked you.
That's right.
Let's sing a song.
705.
Sing a song just for a moment, and then we'll dismiss.
You have longed for sweet peace,
and have faith to increase. And earnestly, fervently pray. But you cannot have rest or be perfectly blessed until all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield Him
your body
and soul. Would you walk with the Lord in the light of His Word? And have peace and contentment always. You must do His sweet will
to be free from all ill. On the altar, see, lay it out on the altar.
You must lay.
Because that's where a death is on an altar. When they put them lambs and they put those goats and different things on that altar, they had to die. Control, you can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield him your body and soul. Oh, we never can know what the Lord will bestow of the blessings for which we have prayed, till our body and soul he doth fully control, and our all on the altar is laid. Think about it. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield him your body and soul. Let's sing this when we dismiss. Who can tell all the love he will send from above, and how happy our hearts will be made of the fellowship sweet we shall share at his feet when our all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield him your body and soul. That's what we need to do. Yield to him. In this hour of uncertainty and desperation and whatever we're dealing with and all nervousness, and lay it out there and let God have it. Give it to God. Give it to him. He said, cast all your burdens. He didn't say one or two. He said, cast all your burdens on me.
Amen.
Every one of them, just cast them on him.
Yes,
and say, God, I can't do it no more. I've tried this, I've tried that, and that's our whole problem. We've tried this and we try that. Just give it to God.
Amen.
Amen. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day that you give us, and this time you give us to speak to the people. Thank you, Lord, for letting us back into the harness again, Father. We pray now that you'd go with us and be with us, Lord, until we meet again on Sunday, Father, and we ask that you just be with the ones that are sick, that you'll raise them up for your honor and glory, Father. Just be with the ones that have to travel tonight, Lord. Give them traveling mercies, and we ask, Lord, that you would just be with Brother Dale and keep him strong, Lord. Bless each one, Father, that's not here. And Lord, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you'll just touch all of our bodies, Lord. That healing power will just continue all the way through us, Lord, and we'll have testimony after testimony, Lord, from this day forward, how God has touched our lives. Father, we pray that you'd be with us now. Take care of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed. Remember, no putt-putt Friday night.